Thank you for listening to the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that your life will be forever changed by what you hear today. Our goal is to encourage, inspire, and challenge you to experience the real Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now, let's tune in.
Well, good morning, church. Happy Palm Sunday, everybody. What a great, great time it is to be a Christian. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to talk about Palm Sunday, but before I do, I just want to share something with you. I don't know if you've noticed, but there has been a dramatic increase in spiritual warfare lately. Has anybody else just been under attack lately? Just felt like it's been, it seemed like all hell's breaking loose against us. Well, I want to take a minute and just encourage you today because I've read the end of the book. And I know how this finishes for us. We win. And we win big. And then we keep winning. And not to quote an ex-president, but we get tired of winning. Remember that? You're going to win so much, you'll be tired of winning. Remember that? I don't know if that's even possible, but hey, sounds good. But I want to encourage you today because, listen, the enemy only attacks that which is effective. He only attacks the things that are effective against his kingdom. So if you feel like you're under attack, keep your eyes on heaven. Keep your eyes in the scripture. Keep encouraging yourself in the word. And I promise you this, you and I will stand before God with our hands raised in victory soon enough. Amen. Until then, let's be about the Father's business. Let's handle business while we're here. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about Palm Sunday. I'm going to be teaching from Mark chapter 11. I've entitled my sermon, The Donkey, the Cloaks, and the Palms. The Donkey, the Cloaks, and the Palms. Throughout history, starting in the Garden of Eden, God allowed these little God winks or clues about his plan to be leaked through prophets and storytellers that lead us all the way to the New Testament, to the reception of Jesus Christ and his entrance here on earth, all the way to Palm Sunday, which there was prophecies fulfilled on Palm Sunday about Jesus being the Messiah. We're going to talk about those today. Why do I always point to these little clues? Because there are people today that still need clues as to who Jesus is. There are people who think he was just a prophet. Some people think he was just a holy man. Some people don't think he even existed at all. Can I tell you, Jesus is real, that he is the Son of God. He is alive today. Come on, somebody. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding on our behalf. What does that mean? That means he's alive and he's praying for you today. Does that excite anybody else? About seven of you, praise God, I'm preaching to seven. That don't bother me. I've preached to less. I preached to three in my truck the other night, my kids. I've preached, yeah. Mark chapter 11, we're going to start with verse 1 and go to verse 11. I want you to stay with me today because we're going to cover some territory, spiritually speaking. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, go into the village opposite you. And as soon as you have entered it, you'll find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he'll send it here. So they went their way. They found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? They spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from palm trees and spread them on the road as well. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Let me kind of catch you up on what's happening. We are going into the season of the Feast of Passover. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, let's go back even further. Do you remember the story of Moses and the children of Israel leaving Egypt, right? We talk about it all the time. There's been movies made about it. Moses led the children out of Egypt, but the night before they left, Pharaoh's heart had waxed cold toward God, and God said, I'm sending the death angel into Egypt, and the firstborn son of each family will die, right? Pretty harsh penalty, but God had been gracious and sent 9 other warnings before he got to that point. Can I tell you, God is full of grace and mercy. Amen. So he gave him chance after chance after chance after chance, and I'm missing about 6 chances there. So over and over and over again, he gave opportunity. So on this last night, he says, listen, the death angel's savage. When he comes in, he just wipes everything out. He goes, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a spotless lamb, a sheep, and I want you to take its life and take the blood from the dead animal and put it on the posts of your home so that when the death angel comes into Egypt, every door that has the blood of the lamb on it will be passed over. That's where we get the term pass over. So this event is repeated every year in celebration with little skits and dinners and meals and different things that they do, Jewish people, as the feast of Passover. It's celebrating the night that blood was applied to the doorpost of the Israelites, and Egypt was dealt an incredible blow, but because of God's grace and his mercy and people's obedience, that's a big part of this, people's obedience, they were spared. Now, fast forward to where we're at now in our story, Jesus is going into Jerusalem to begin the feast of Passover. This is a several hundred years later down the road that now Jesus is entering in as a Jewish man, honoring the law. He would go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and that's what's happening. Jesus is going into Jerusalem. Now, this was a little different year, though. Jesus was going into Jerusalem not to celebrate Passover, but to be the sacrifice for Passover. It's a beautiful thing, and don't miss that. Everybody else is celebrating and having their meals and doing all the festivities and everything, but Jesus knew that he was the lamb whose blood would need to be applied for salvation. So he still went to Jerusalem knowing that. Why did he do that? Because he loves you. Because he loves me. Because he loved those people. He loves people so much he laid his life down so that you could have eternity with him. And so it's this beautiful picture of Jesus in the face of one of the most horrific deaths ever documented, still pursued righteousness and doing the right thing that God had required of him, going into Jerusalem for the Passover to be destroyed. That is the beginning of Palm Sunday. The story tells us that he found a colt, and really he sent 2 disciples to go get the colt. He told them where they were, which would have blown my mind anyway. Jesus said, hey, there's a colt you're going to find out in this one street. You're going to go here, take a left, take a right, take a left. There's going to be a colt right there. Bring me that donkey, right? The minute I walk up on that donkey, I'm like, hey, that's Jesus. That's the one. That's the Messiah. Nobody could tell me that there's a donkey over here on 2nd Street off 85 in the middle of work traffic. Take a left, take a right, take a left. You'll find a donkey there, right? Of course, in today's terms, it'd be like a dirt bike. You're going to find a dirt bike over here off Lake Silver Road. Go down Lake Silver about 1.5 miles. Take a ride on Curry. Take another ride on Curry. You'll be in Josh's front yard. There's a dirt bike. I've been praying for a dirt bike. Still don't have one, but that's okay. It's okay. So anyway, pretty miraculous thing. They found the donkey to begin with. Then the disciples do this really cool thing. They lay their clothes on top of this donkey, this colt, and it gives us some specificity about the colt. The colt had never been ridden before. Nobody ever sat on this colt. Brand new, young colt. So young, in fact, that they had never put any weight to carry before. This is a young, young colt. Okay? They put their cloaks on it. Jesus rides on it. Then as they get closer to Jerusalem, people start throwing their clothes on the ground, throwing palm leaves on the ground, waving palm trees, worshiping. Glory to God in the highest. Hosanna. And that brings us to today, which I don't know if you grew up in church, but if you did, there's a really good chance on Palm Sunday, you were coming home with something that looked like a palm leaf that you made out of construction paper. Okay? That's how we celebrate. We focus on the palm. We focus on this one leaf. And in Florida, we have these things everywhere, right? We have palm trees and all sorts of little palm trees, big palm trees. We find palms everywhere. What's really cool is that every one of these pieces of the story are a clue to a non-believer that God is real. Even in his death, even the week leading to his destruction, he is still obedient to God in such a way that he is dropping clues that line up with prophecies throughout history that are marking him as the one true living God. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless they come through me. Right? So we're going to talk about this just for a minute today. The first thing I want to talk to you about is the donkey. Now, this is a good thing. This is not Josh's story. If I was a king, I would have rolled up with all sorts of drip and it'd have been, you know, it just would have been silly. It wouldn't have been horses. It'd have been like chariots with spinners on them, you know. Remember, they still do spinners. I don't know if people do spinners anymore or not. But man, I would roll in with about 10 chariots, and I'd be walking between them. I'd say, keep them together, fellas. Keep them together. I'd be walking between them. I'd be flexing so hard. They'd say, man, that's a king right there. Right? I'd have my crown tilted a little bit to the side, you know, just cause. And people would say, that's a king. That's a king. You know, he's got all these chariots. I'd have the best trumpeters in all the land, about 1,000 of them go before me. And then I'd have all the armies that I could afford roll with me. Just in case somebody got out of pocket, I'd sit down, right? I'd flex all of my flesh. You'd see it all, right? You say, man, that's a cocky sucker. That a lot of pride, a lot of issues with that guy, right? But he's a king, no doubt. He's rolling deep. Got all that money and floss. That's a king. Jesus did it different. He did it different. And here's what's interesting is his desire was not to do things his way. His desire was to do things according to the will of his Father. Had Jesus rode a horse, the Jews would have never received him. Guys, put the slide up for Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, comma, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah 9, hundreds of years before Jesus gets on the scene. So Jesus rolls up on a donkey, which is like the lowest of the low, but then like a baby donkey, which is even lower than that. And for some reason, the Romans didn't catch it. The Romans didn't recognize. See, if Jesus would have rolled in with all that pomp and splendor, the Romans would have said, attack that guy. Knock that dude out. He's coming to take control. Let's kill him. But see, if the Romans would have killed him, prophecy would have never been fulfilled because the Jews had to slay him, right? All this prophecy had to be fulfilled. So Jesus rides in on a donkey, colt, never been ridden before. This prophecy, hundreds of years before Christ's appearance, was fulfilled. And let me tell you what's powerful about that. The Jews know the scriptures. They know prophecy. So all of the non-believers, there were people who believed because they had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. They had seen other miracles. They had seen these things happen. But there were those who didn't believe. But when they saw a man being proclaimed as king of the Jews on a donkey, and then not just on any donkey, a lowly colt, a baby donkey, wait a second. Familiar to me. What did Zechariah say? What he said something about a donkey. He said something about a colt. He said something that our king was coming. Something. It's be like me reaching over to Wendy. Wendy, what did the verse say? And she'd say, hang on, let me pull it up. And she'd pull it up and she'd go, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He goes, that's it. And then he ran back outside and he went, people are putting their clothes on the ground. People are cutting palm leaves down. They're worshiping this guy. Is it possible? This is the one. So number one, the donkey. People who did not believe sparked with that clue that this Son of the Living God, this kicks off Palm Sunday. Jesus riding on a donkey. Now, I want to tell you something very cool about this. Jesus could have come with 10,000 angels swarming like hornets. He could have rolled so fast and so violently into Jerusalem that everybody was gone. But he didn't. He had a life of submission to his Father's work, because his Father's work is for you and I to come back into communion with him. So you and I were on his heart while he was on the donkey. Isn't that cool? Very cool. The next thing I want to talk to you about, the cloaks. When I was, anybody here a 90s kid? I was born in 79. Any other people grew up really in the 90s, went to high school, junior high, and all that in the 90s? Don't raise your hand. I'm just weird. I'm asking you a question. Jeez, I graduated in 97. So it was sometime between 92, 93, 94. We were in Little Rock. Little Rock was infested with gang violence. And if you were in Little Rock and you were on Woodrow Street and you were east of 12th Street, you could wear red. You'd be fine. Why bother you? You went west, starting on 13th Street, you could wear navy blue. You'd be great, but don't wear red. If you were north of the river, you could wear black, and you'd be fine. But if you ever wore the wrong two colors to that part of town, it was going to cost you something. So we lived on the north part of the river, on the north side of the river, and so I could wear every color but navy blue and red. But then my brother and I got recruited to go play football from McClellan High School, which was on the south part of the river on the east side of 12th Street, which meant I could wear red now 5 days a week. Okay, so it came Christmas. My mom says, what do you want for Christmas? Well, we all know you want to bling in front of your friends at school, right? So I was like, hey, I can wear something red. I said, I'd love a Chicago Bulls starter jacket. Anybody remember the starter jackets? Everybody's like, oh yeah, that was bling, man. That was kids, that was our floss. That was our thing. If you had a starter jacket back in the day, you was something. And there were really three. If you're on the right part of town, you wore Bulls. The other part of town, you wore Michigan Wolverines, navy blue. And the other part of town, you wore Los Angeles Kings, black. That was your three main teams, and they did it by color, right? So I put on my Bulls starter jacket. I go to school the first day. I'm walking down the hallway, and the guy taps me on the shoulder. He says, hey, I like that jacket. I said, thanks, man. Thanks, buddy. He goes, you think it would fit me? Oh, no, it's right. They're not asking. I said, I don't know if it fits you or not. I tried to keep walking. He grabbed my arm, spun me around. He said, let me try it on. I take my jacket off. He puts it on. He goes, yeah, it fits good. I was like, oh, yeah, man. And when I reached for it, he started walking off. I said, hey, I need my jacket. He said, what jacket? I said, that jacket. And when I reached for him, he pulled away and kept walking. When I grabbed him and spun him around, three people jumped on me and wore me out. They jumped me and took my jacket. Well, why is that important to our story? The clothes you wear matter sometimes. It's not to that extent anymore. It may be in some places. But now we do kind of clump up in gangs on how we dress. See, there are certain places that they'll treat me funny if I don't have certain logos on my shirt. Anybody else? There are certain people that'll accept me no matter what I'm wearing. And praise God for those people who don't judge. But there are people who have learned to establish my value based on what I have on my back. And it's wrong. But we are still ascribing societal statuses to people based on what they own, possess, and wear. Yes or no? Okay, so you can wear pretty much whatever you want to wear, but people will judge you based on what you wear. Yes or no? If you don't believe me, go to Walmart. There's people dressing from everything from, I seen a lady in just a bathing suit, no shoes, just walking through Walmart bathing suit. I seen a lady in pajamas walking through. You see people dressed up in suits. You see all kinds of people, right? There's all sorts of different walks of life in Walmart. So here's what I'll tell you. People judge us based on how we dress, not because of who we are, but because it can somewhat tell a story of our past. Wrong, a lot of times incorrect. You can't base character on what people own, but people try, don't they? So this story of people taking their cloaks off and laying it down is very much akin to someone walking away from their status. In Jesus' day, there were certain colors you couldn't even buy unless you had certain wealth. And so what you have is now Jesus on the colt heading toward Jerusalem. And just before he gets into the city, these people start taking off their cloaks and their jackets and laying them on the ground in front of Jesus. And you got people who are taking off their tunics and they're laying it on the floor in front of the donkey as Jesus rides over. Here's the picture. Still today, your past can be under his feet, but you got to lay it down. You can strive for status with people, or you can receive it freely from God. People were taking their identities and laying it in front of Jesus. Like, I've worked my whole life to be perceived this way. I don't care anymore. You, my salvation, you're the king. Doesn't matter who I am. It matters who you are. And I want you to know that everything I've lived my life to become ends today. New start. Salvation had come to the Jews. But after the cloaks, now we have the palms. The palms had great significance because it kind of blended into the cloaks. If you only had a base layer of clothing, you did not have the tunic or the jackets, the extra robes to take off, then you wanted to throw something on the ground in front of Jesus. So you would go and you would cut a palm branch and you would come and you throw that. But then there were people not just throwing them on the ground, there were people waving them, worshiping, saying, Hosanna to God in the highest. Just giving him praise for who they had just found out he was. The palm tree has great significance to the Jewish people. If you go into the Old Testament, you see the judge Deborah holding court under the palm tree. Here's a very cool picture. Don't miss this. Jesus is riding on the road into Jerusalem and they're waving palm trees and people are thinking of the Old Testament going, wait a second. A righteous judge holds court under palm trees. Jesus is coming as a righteous judge to the people of Israel. They begin to relate that to their past. And so it's another clue, another connection point to history for the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, then there's the significance of what the palm tree stands for in times of war. When a battle was won, they would cut palm leaves, palm branches off of the trees and they would wave them at the victors as they would come through town. Can I tell you, they were waving those palm trees because their victory had arrived. They understood who Jesus was. Their worship reminded us. Their actions told stories, lined up with prophecies. Everything that took place that day was leading Jesus in obedience to one of the most savage deaths that the world has ever known. And how beautiful that the world, even a few, acknowledged him for who he was on the way into Jerusalem. You see, if you go back and you study, you'll find that a lot of these people were there when he fed the 5,000. These people understood that he had done miracles. But some of you maybe have had a miracle in your life and you still have doubts. So even for those people, Jesus was checking boxes of prophecy, reminding them of who he was. The last thing I want to point out to you is what they were saying. So you've got the donkey, the cloak, you've got the palm. Last thing is the words that were coming out of their mouth. I remember being a kid in church and singing these little songs, Hosanna, blessed be the rock of my salvation. They created these songs to help us remember Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest. And so growing up, I had the understanding that Hosanna was like hallelujah. It was an expressive term of worship. Well, this week, I did a deep dive into the Hebrew to find out what Hosanna really means. I think it's going to bless you in the same way it blessed me. Hosanna in the Hebrew is a compound word, Yasha Ana. Yasha means to save. Ana means I beseech you. Yasha Ana. As he was going through the streets, they were worshiping, saying, Yasha Ana! Yasha Ana! Yasha Ana! And they were taking their cloaks off and throwing it on the floor. This was an urgency in the people of Israel. Yasha Ana! And they would cut a palm leaf and they would wave it. Yasha Ana! I beseech you, save me! You have the capability to wipe away sins. Yasha Ana! Do you see me? In the throngs of people, if you don't see me as a person, let me find a twig. Let me find a branch. Let me get something so you see me and remember me. Yasha Ana! Will you forgive me? Will you receive me? The law has rejected me. My sins have kept me away from God. Yasha Ana! I beseech you, save me. Save me. The law had failed the Israelites. And the Israelites had failed the law. And they had heard a promise for thousands of years through the prophets that there was one coming that would be a perfect sacrifice, that no longer would the life of goats and rams and bulls be necessary, because a perfect, spotless lamb would come. Yasha Ana, do you see me? Will you save me? Will you forgive me? All throughout the streets of Jerusalem, Hosanna to God. I see your God. I beseech you, save me. I acknowledge you for who you are. Please forgive me and receive me. Return me back to my right standing. Do you see it? This is the power, Palm Sunday, that those who the builders rejected was becoming the chief cornerstone of our faith. The very spiritual leaders that had taught these people their whole lives told them they were unworthy and completely unable of having God's goodness. And here, on a lowly colt through Jerusalem, salvation has drawn nigh. Their eternity was secure again. I beseech you, save. Isn't that something? That is so powerful. And here's what makes it most powerful. People are still crying, Yasha Ana today. I beseech you, save me. Jesus, I know you're real. No, you're real. It may have been the cult story that got you about him riding on a donkey. I don't know. It may be that you heard about the 500 witnesses that spoke of him after his resurrection. I don't know what sold you, but all I know is you're at a place today. You may be here and you say, Josh, I'm at a place where I beseech him to save me. Can I tell you, he's faithful. Wow, he's so stinking faithful. All you got to do is ask. Bible says if you want to be saved, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you are saved. Ashana. Save us. Tried to do things my own way, failed. Tried to do things according to the law, I failed. So how do I move forward? Yasha Ana, Hosanna, save me. Palm Sunday is the beginning of the end for Jesus' work on earth. But what he did over the next 7 days, you and I are still the beneficiaries of it today. Are you grateful for Palm Sunday today? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I got a quick question for you. If you're here and you say, Josh, I want to firm some things up. If I was to die today, I don't know for sure that heaven would be my home, but man, this Jesus stuff sounds awfully good. I'll have some of that. If that's you and you say, Josh, I just need salvation. I've tried to do it my way and I put it in the ditch. I tried to live according to the law and I fail. Just need some grace. I need forgiveness. If that's you, nobody's looking around. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you today. Nobody's looking around. God bless you. 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 I'm not going to rush it. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? There were so many stinking hands lifted in the first service, I couldn't count them. Yasha Ana, I beseech you, save me. If that's you today, I just want to pray for you. Raise your hand. I don't want to rush this moment. This is the whole purpose of Holy Week. God bless you. I see that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. The Lord, my prayer is simple. We beseech you, save us. You've saved me. I am saved. And I'm currently walking out the salvation every day. And Lord, there are those who have raised their hand today. They've made the proclamation, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus, the Messiah. So they're willing to lay down everything up to this point, throw it at your feet, say, take it, use it, walk on it if you have to. I don't care, just take it. They're waving their palm branch to get your attention, saying that they need salvation. So Lord, do for them what you've done for me. Send the most wonderful, potent grace. Change them. I pray that even now, they would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit stirring in them. Wiping clean the mistakes of the past. Thank you in advance for every head bowed, every eye closed, I want every person to repeat after me, whether you raised your hand or not. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Palm Sunday. I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe my salvation is secure today through Jesus. Receive me as your child. I'll receive you as my Father. Thank you for salvation. Jesus. Amen. You stand to your feet today. Holy Week. Reason to celebrate. That's it. This is the big celebration for us as believers. Kicks off today. What does that look like for us? Well, it looks like Friday night we're going to have a party on it, night of worship. We're going to come in here and we're just going to go bonkers. Going to worship and have a party. It's going to be great. On Saturday, the birthday for Hope City. Is that blowing anybody else's mind? It's been 2 years. What an incredible. Do you realize what God has done in 2 years? Do you realize thousands of lives have been changed. Boy, don't ever, ever overlook the power of obedience. But we're going to eat some hot dogs, hunt some Easter eggs, and jump in some inflatables, and the kids will do something else too. But we're going to have a good time Saturday. That's from 2 to 4. And then next Sunday, we are going to celebrate Jesus is alive. He's alive. Now, I'm done preaching, but just give me 30 seconds. What you and I believe is different than what other people believe. Everybody else, their God died, and he stayed dead. Jesus is alive. So next Sunday, we're going to celebrate that. Don't forget 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. Do me a favor. Jump online. Share our post. We're given extra space to bring in all your guests. Bring family, friends, frenemies, enemies. Anybody you want to bring, you bring them. We're going to trust God to love them well. Amen. And it's just going to be a great week of celebration. Take the joy of heaven with you today as you leave. Let me bless you. Father, bless us and keep us. Be gracious to us and show us your favor. Make your face shine upon us and give us peace both now and forevermore. Cover us with the blood of Jesus from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper, but whatever you've called us to, you're going to bring increase through it. Father, I thank you for Holy Week. I thank you for Palm Sunday. May it resonate with joy in our hearts that our eternity is secure through Jesus Christ. Bring us back next week with more wisdom and more of your word locked away in our heart, and we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that what you've heard today will bless you until the next time we meet again. We hope you'll join us again soon to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to experience the real Jesus. Take good care, and God bless.